Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Numbers, and this is chapter 34. Let's all ask the Lord to anoint. I'm going to ask the Lord to anoint this chapter so that every listener will be able to understand it. And Father, I ask you to anoint this chapter that has to do with the borders of Israel. Now, Israel is a corporate body of people, which is symbolic of the body of Christ, your body, Father, the body that you live in. And there's no one, it states in the third chapter of the book of John, that there's nobody going to be in the kingdom of heaven but Jesus, but you, God. And so only those that are in your body are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. It's just one body. And anyone outside that body, the only other place for them to be is in the other place, the pit of hell and the lake of fire. He told Nicodemus, I want you to know this for sure, that unless a man is born of the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, verily, verily, I say unto you, I want you to know this for sure, that unless you're born of the Spirit, unless you're walking in the Spirit on a daily basis, you cannot enter, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, therefore, we must walk within the borders of the body of Christ, the borders of Israel. Because Israel, the New Jerusalem, is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the body, the church, the very opposite of the Antichrist, the ones that walk within the borders of your law. And we're able to walk within the borders of your law, the holy city, the kingdom of God, by walking in the Spirit, in the body of Christ. All those that walk not in the Spirit, know this for sure, you said, Lord. I want you to be very clear to you that if a man is not born of the Spirit, walking within the borders of the law, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, Lord, anoint this lesson into each and every one of our hearts that we're not to cross the borderline, because outside of the law, then we become lawless. And Lord, we know that you do not love us unconditionally, that there's all kinds of conditions. And one of them is that we don't cross the borderlines, that we don't sin any longer. You said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen unto us. So, Father, teach us this lesson about holiness, sinlessness, selflessness, holiness, sacredness, oneness with you. In this message, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Does that wake you up?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go. This is chapter 34, verse 1.
Boundaries of the land. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying...
And Jesus is the land, amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the kingdom of heaven, and he's the only body there, and if we're in his body, then we're there too. And we cannot be there if we're carnal. Right?
Right.
Must be spiritual. Well, I want you to know this for sure, Nicodemus. No one can see the kingdom of heaven. And he says, if I can't tell you, he says, you're a ruler of Israel. You're a teacher of Israel. You teach, you're supposed to know everything. If I can't teach you things that are of this world, how in the world am I going to be able to teach you the things of the world to come, the kingdom of the spiritual realm? Okay, so if people will not receive common sense here in this world, how will they be able to understand weighty things like the spiritual world? Amen?
Amen.
The kingdom of heaven. You got to sober up and realize that, you know, if you... We've got to understand the things of this world. We know the sinfulness, not the sinfulness, but we got to know that there's wind air, the Spirit of God. There's clouds, there's rain, there's land, there's the promised land. And all the other things that the Lord teaches about God's farm, about sowing seed, watering the seed, cultivating it, about the weed problem, and about harvesting. And if you can't know that, well then how can he teach you spiritual things? How can any of us? And we have to know that the Father was in Jesus. He was the light of the world. And if we're in Jesus, then he's in us. And he that is in us is divine and holy and perfect. And if we're letting him rule our lives, discipline our lives, then we are definitely eligible to see the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, we're already born again of the Spirit. We are part of the heavenly realm, and we have eternal life now. And that's why we have to protect that eternal life by realizing and keeping the commandments that we must know for sure. We must know without a doubt. And the Lord says, let me explain something to you, Nicodemus. There's no one can enter the kingdom of God or see it unless he is born of this walking in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's God himself saying it. And he wants us to say the same things. And when we say it, we must be living it, or people will say that we're not really of him. Because Nicodemus told Jesus, we know that you're sent from heaven, from God, because the miracles that you do. And there's no way that God is going to perform, can do any miracles in a human body or through a human body unless you're born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, who came after dark at nighttime to visit Jesus, said, we know. Well, I know without a doubt you're from God because of your miracles. And if you don't have gifts, if there's no miracles coming from you, then you're a carnal person. You can't be miraculous if you're an adulteress, an adulterer, a fornicator, a liar, a thief, a lesbian, a homosexual. There's nothing of any value that's come out of you. You're just like worldly people, carnal people that have no hope of eternal life in heaven. But all you have is just a dreadful fear of dying, because you say to yourself, if the gospel is true, I'm going to be in hell and in the lake of fire, and it's never going to end. So those are things to think about when we're reading this chapter. Man, don't cross the boundary line. The Lord has set the law, the boundary lines, and states how we can be within those boundary lines. We must, without a doubt, walk in the Spirit, be born of the Spirit. Then what? Go ahead.
Verse 2, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coasts thereof.
This land of Canaan is symbolic of the kingdom of heaven. It's for sure. He can't trust anyone that won't stop sinning in this world to be in the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing that can be of sin there, or anybody that's in that will endanger heaven by sinning again there. He's not going to let any sinner there. Live there, enter there, see there, okay? Then what?
Verse 3, then your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin, along by the coast of Edom, and your south border shall be the outmost coast of the salt sea eastward. Verse 4, and your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabbim, and pass on to Zin. And the going forth thereof shall be from the south to Kadesh Barnea, and shall go on to Hazar Adar, and pass on to Azmon. Verse 5, and the border shall fetch a compass from Azmon unto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of it shall be at the sea. Verse 6, and as for the western border, ye shall even have the great sea for a border. This shall be your west border. Verse 7, and this shall be your north border. From the great sea ye shall point out for you Mount Hor. Verse 8, from Mount Hor ye shall point out your border unto the entrance of Hamath, and the goings forth of the border shall be to Zedad. Verse 9, And the border shall go on to Ziphron, and the goings out of it shall be at Hazar Enan. This shall be your north border.
See, all these people knew where those places were, and so there was no problem of them knowing that this is the inheritance that they have, that to them is symbolic of the kingdom of heaven for us. It's the kingdom of heaven. There's borders in heaven also. The 1,500 miles long of the city in the kingdom of heaven, the New Jerusalem, 1,500 square. One way, 1,500 the other, 1,500 miles high. Then what?
Verse 10, and ye shall point out your east border from Hazar Enan to Shepham. Verse 11, and the coast shall go down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of Ain, and the border shall descend and shall reach unto the side of the sea of Kinnereth eastward.
Kinnereth, yeah. Then what else?
Verse 12, and the border
that's
shall...
Over, that's over the Sea of Galilee, near, actually, right at Tiberias. Then what else?
Verse 12, and the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the Salt Sea.
Right. That's also that Jordan comes right out of the Lake Kinnereth, or the Sea of Galilee, and that's where John was baptizing near there, and it goes all the way into the Salt Sea. Okay, then what else?
This shall be your land with the coasts thereof round about.
Yeah, the Great Sea, the Mediterranean, and all that. All right.
Translation, verse 1 through 12. For boundaries of the land. Then the Lord said to Moses, give these instructions to the Israelites. Verse 2. When you come into the land of Canaan, which I am giving you as your special possession, these will be the boundaries. Verse 3. The southern portion of your country will extend from the wilderness of Zin along the edge of Edom. The southern boundary will begin on the east at the Dead Sea. Verse 4. It will then turn south at Scorpion Pass in the direction of Zin. Its southern point will be Kadesh Barnea, from which it will go to Hazar Adar and on to Asmon. Verse 5. From Asmon, the boundary will turn toward the Brook of Egypt and end at the Mediterranean Sea.
See, that's the Great Sea, the Mediterranean. That's right over there by Haifa and also by Tel Aviv, right?
Right.
And it's just beautiful there. You can get on top of Mount Carmel, where the cave of Elijah is. Right on top of it right now, today, is the Haifa Hilton Hotel. And you can look down right into the bay, the harbor there, and see this great big horseshoe harbor down there. And the lights at nighttime are gorgeous, and it's beautiful by day, too, to look into that beautiful, crystal clear water down there. It is a beautiful sight. And the landscaping there is beautiful, and the vegetation there is gorgeous, and beautiful homes all on that mountain and everything. It's gorgeous. Ah, I loved it when I was there. I lived in Haifa for a while. It's real hilly and everything, and it's very interesting terrain. And it's very close, about a half hour to 45 minutes from Ai, the ancient city of Ai. And right there is, you can see where Achan, where there's a whole heap of stones there where he's underneath there. Isn't that something? Big old white stones about this big around. Of course, you on tape can't see how big this is, about the size of small and large watermelons. Okay? All right, then they're white. I don't know how they got so bleached out. And they're stacked up about 8 feet tall on one end, and it just slopes down after about 200 feet to about 3 foot high. And then there's a plaque on there written in Hebrew, or I can't read what it says, but I'm imagining that this is where Achan is buried. For troubling Israel. Oh, it gives me shivers to just think about it. Amen?
Amen.
And then there's all those old stone huts all over the place. It's like a whole city of them. And they're all vacant. There's a little grocery store and a great big old building there. And little Arabic kids are running in and outside the door. And we went in there and had a bottle of Sody Pop. Because they sold it. And it's right there at the sea. Ai is right on the sea. Also the Mediterranean. Then what?
Verse 6. Your western boundary will be the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. Verse 7, your northern boundary will begin at the Mediterranean Sea and run eastward to Mount Hor. Verse 8, then to Lebo Hamath and on through Zedad. Verse 9, and Ziphron to Hazar Enan.
So traveling in a vehicle
Down the coast from Haifa, Israel, where that big harbor is, all the way down to Ai, it's like riding on the beach. You know, there's like you can see from the highway the ocean all the way. Beautiful drive. Huh, you get a little picture of it there? That's gorgeous. Then what else?
This will be your northern boundary. Verse 10. The eastern boundary will start at Hazar Enan and run south to Shepham. Verse 11.
Then the people in Haifa ask you, you know, I moved into this old-fashioned hotel there.
I didn't live at the Hilton. I wanted to live at one, you know, kind of like something that's more down to earth. And they said, have you seen the ancient city of Ai? They said, no, where's that at? You know, because I read about it in the Bible. I said, yeah, it's in the Bible. And they say, they give you directions on how to get there. Anyway, I said, come on, Mansoor, let's jump in the car and go. Mm-hmm. It's not far. Okay, then what?
Then down to Ribla on the east side of Ain. From there, the boundary will run down along the eastern edge of the Sea of Galilee.
Okay, that's over there where I was living, over in Haifa.
Not Haifa, but I lived there most of the time, was over at Tiberias. And right there at the Sea of Galilee, there's about 3-4 miles down, just down the road, you know, just you can see it, is Capernaum, the city of Jesus. There's a sign right there, a plaque on the walls when you're entering it there, the gate, it says the city of Jesus, Capernaum. And that gives me goose pimples when I looked at that. And I went in there and saw Peter's house where he lived, it's the ruins of it, and the temple where Jesus preached. And right from that city it says... And then Jesus went up into the mountain to pray all night. And there's only one mountain there, so you know that's it. And then right across the sea there, you can see the only steep place on the whole Sea of Galilee, or Lake Kenneth, what they call it too. That's the only place it could be where the swine ran down when he cast the devils out of them and sent them into the sea. Hank, when he cast the demons out of Legion, and they entered into that herd of swine, and they ran violently down a cliff. That's the only cliff around the Sea of Galilee. So you can just know, that's where it was. And that's a huge mountain there, the only one there, that Jesus went up and prayed all night long. Then you can see the dock there at Capernaum, where they were just a little offshore there, and the Lord told them to cast the nets in to the sea. And that's where Peter said, well, we've been fishing all night long, but nevertheless, you know, because you say so, here we'll throw the nets in, and it almost sunk the boat. And they have what they call nowadays St. Peter's fish there. And they have a kibbutzim on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And it's a very small sea or lake. You go around there and you can go in this kibbutzim and have St. Peter's fish. It's kind of like a franchise. Set up sort of like that, where you can sit on the sea and eat St. Peter's fish and have French fries with it. And the fish is delicious, but it's real bony. And you can have Coke or 7-Up or whatever there as well. It's really, really, really supernatural place to be, Israel. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, man, I just love it. I'd love to stay there forever. Then what else?
Verse 12. Then along the Jordan River to the Dead Sea. These are the boundaries of your land.
Now, the Dead Sea is
over by Jericho. Jericho kind of sits up on a slope, and you can look, when you stand away from all the palm trees, so you look down and you can see the slope going down, and right at the end, down the way down there, is like the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea. It's the same thing. You can go swimming in there and you'll float because there's so much salt in it. Yeah, and there's minerals in there. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 13. And Moses...
That's where the walls of Jericho came down, at Jericho there. And all it is just an Arabic town now. There's just a bunch of Arabs living there. And then what? Chapter, verse what?
13. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, This is the land which ye shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and to the half tribe. Translation, verse 13. Then Moses told the Israelites, quote, "This is the territory you are to divide among yourselves by sacred lot."
And over there in Jericho, you can see these great big date palms, and you can see huge clusters of grapes hanging off those trees. And you see nets around them so the bugs can't get to them. And they're just like huge. It's amazing, you know, how they grow. And then going up to Nazareth from Cana of Galilee, which is right down at the bottom of the mountain where Nazareth is up there, you see all up that mountain is like pomegranate trees. And you just never see those in the United States. I've never seen them here, you know. And it's really something to see. It's really something to see. Okay, then what?
The Lord commands that the land be divided up among the 9.5 remaining tribes. King James Version, verse 14. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. Verse 15. The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side Jordan, near Jericho, eastward, toward the sun rising.
Yeah.
Verse 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 17, these are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you: Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. Verse 18, and ye shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. Verse 19, and the names of the men are these: of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Verse 20, and of the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel the son of Ammihud. Verse 21, of the tribe of Benjamin, Eliadad the son of Kislon. Verse 22, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Dan, Bukai the son of Joglai. Verse 23, the prince of the children of Joseph, for the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Haniel the son of Ephod. Verse 24, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemuel the son of Shiftan. Verse 25, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Elizaphan the son of Parnach. Verse 26, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Issachar, Paltiel the son of Azan. Verse 27, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Asher, Ahihud the son of Shalomi. Verse 28, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Pedahel the son of Ammihud. Verse 29, these are they whom the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance unto the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. Translation, verse 14 through 29. The families of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh have already received their inheritance of land on the east side of the Jordan River across from Jericho. Leaders to divide the land. Verse 16. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 17, quote, these are the men who are to divide the land among the people: Eleazar the priest, and Joshua son of Nun. Verse 18. Also enlist one leader from each tribe to help them with the task. Verse 19, these are the tribes and the names of the leaders: tribe, Judah, the leader, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. Verse 20, Simeon, leader, is Shemuel, son of Ammihud. Verse 21, Benjamin, Eliadad, son of Kislon. Verse 22, Dan, the leader, is Bukai, son of Joglai. 23, Manasseh, son of Joseph, leader, is Haniel, son of Ephod. Verse 24, Ephraim, son of Joseph, leader, is Kemuel, son of Shiftan. Verse 25, Zebulun, the leader, is Elizaphan, son of Paranah. The next tribe, verse 26, Issachar, the leader, is Paltiel, son of Azan. Verse 27, Asher, The leader is Ahihud, son of Shalomi. Verse 28, Naphtali, leader is Pedahel, son of Ammihud. Verse 29, these are the men the Lord has appointed to oversee the dividing of the land of Canaan among the Israelites.
Okay, that's the last verse in the chapter 34 of Numbers. Now we have some commentary.
34 verse 1 through chapter 36 verse 13. With the command to dispossess the inhabitants and to possess the land, chapter 33 verse 50 through 56, serving as an introduction, the remaining chapters in Numbers deal with the boundaries.
Right, see, now, Jesus is the land. He's symbolic. The land is symbolic of Jesus, and we are to possess him. We have to hold him fast to us, as the Song of Solomon says, and he will hang on fast to us, okay, his bride. So it says, read that last line there.
Okay. With the command to dispossess the inhabitants and to possess the land.
To possess the land, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You have to get rid of everything in you so that you can possess the land. All the bad stuff has to come out of you. So you has to be gone so that only Jesus remains in your spirit. His spirit with your spirit. Do you understand? It just keeps proving itself throughout the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Serving as an introduction, the remaining chapters in Numbers deal with the boundaries. Chapter 34, verse 1 through 15.
So there's no, the boundary is outside of Jesus, is out of the boundary line. That's it, right?
Right.
Okay, then what else?
Division, chapter 34, verse 16 through 29. Allotment, chapter 35, and inheritance of the land.
And division, division is that everybody has their level of office in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Division of the land. Of you, some people have this to do and some have that to do in the body of Christ. You all have a different level of authority in the body of Christ. Okay, then what? Division, and then what does it say?
And allotment, chapter 35.
Yeah, so God allocates the different gifts to you in different places, things for you to do. Otherwise, the body of Christ is just scattered all over the place. It can't be. Because it's not within the borders. Every tribe has its own border. Of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And inheritance of the land, chapter 36.
They all have their different jobs, right? Certain people are called to carry the ark. Some people were called to carry the poles. Some people were called to carry the tent, and etc. The staves and so on. And when you get into the Promised Land, they all have their own, whatever, however large the tribe is, they have the larger plots of land. And those that are smaller, they have the smaller plot, division of land allocated to them. Then what else?
34 verse 1 through 15. The verses relate the Lord's instructions, verses 1 through 12, and the speech of Moses complying with them, verses 13 through 15. The borders discussed in the Lord's speech do not include the land east of the Jordan. See chapter 32.
So you have to stay out of there. That's not yours. Okay, then what?
But they are accounted for in the speech of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
It is an ideal description of the border, one that was never fully realized.
No, because they never took that which the Lord gave them, all of what the Lord gave them. And they allowed certain of the enemies of God to stay in the Promised Land. And they promised not to do that. They were going to go in there and annihilate them all. Then what else?
In fact, the Philistines occupied the coastal areas throughout the period of the monarchy. 34 verse 16 through 29. The task of dividing the land is delegated to a member from every tribe. Presumably, the people mentioned in this chapter would subdivide the tribal territory by family after the division of Joshua, chapters 13 through 19. The order of the tribes is given by geographical arrangement from south to north. 34 verse 1 through 29. The boundaries given here were based on faith in God. The Israelites had to trust that God would help them conquer the promised land. This great chapter of anticipation recalls God's promise to Abraham, quote, "Yes, I will give all this land of Canaan to you and to your offspring forever, and I will be their God," unquote, Genesis 17:8. Yes, the Lord will give you the land.
In the body of Christ, the kingdom of heaven, if you keep his commandments, then what?
But you'll have to fight for it.
Yes, you'll have to get rid of the devil and get rid of self and let Christ God in Christ live his life out in and through you. Otherwise, you see, the land will be taken away, just as it has been, and they were just recently in 1947 and 48 given back the land. He returned them back to Israel. And so they best be getting right with the Lord Jesus so that they can keep possessing and so God will bless them and keep the commandments. Because that's going to offend the Lord a lot if they start burnt offerings again. Because that is to say that the Messiah has not come back, come into the world and redeemed the world unto himself, unto God, by his blood. And that really is offensive to the Lord, to not accept that. And he'll never bless them until they do. Okay, then what?
The Lord gives you salvation, but you have to defend it. Those who were obedient to God would see the fulfillment of this promise that had been made hundreds of years earlier. This shows that God is not loving anyone unconditionally. The land is yours if you keep my commandments.
But if you don't, he says, I'll drive you out of there just like I did them, and I'll do to them, to you, what I intended to do to them. Amen?
Amen.
So that's it. He's a very conditional God. And all these false these people that say the Lord just loves you unconditionally, they're liars. No, with God, everything is conditional. Okay? Who are we that he loves us no matter what we do? That is so anti-Christ, so anti-Bible, so anti the Word of God. It's anti-Christ doctrine. And what's this guy's name in Atlanta, Georgia, that keeps saying that?
Charles Stanley.
It's Charles Stanley, the old Stanley steamer. Oh, he talks a mile a minute. So did Hitler. But they were wrong. He's wrong. He's a liar. Until he starts saying that everything with God is conditional, I mean, the man's an antichrist. I don't care how much gospel he preaches. When he says that, that just ruins the whole thing. All right, then what?
The land is yours if you fight for it.
See, and there are many others besides Charles Stanley. I mean, they almost all say that. Okay, then what else?
God fulfills his promises, even though it sometimes takes longer than a lot of people expect.
Yeah, Joyce Meyer says the same thing. Says the same thing. Oh, you just get saved, you know. And Jesus paid the price for everything, and so we don't, he just, now we can sin. This is antichrist. How can we sin if you can't get into heaven if you sin? Well, the law is done away with. No, it's not. Jesus said, I didn't do away with the law. I fulfilled it in a human body, and you can do it too if you have me, Father, the Father, me, in the God, in the Lord God, in you. And if you don't have sin, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God or see it. So that's conditional. You have to be walking in the Spirit, the same Spirit Jesus walked in, a sinless Spirit, in order to see the kingdom of God. He said it. Now, if you don't believe what God says in from Christ, because he said, every word that I speak is from the Father, well, then you're antichrist. Amen?
Amen?
Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe the things that the Father said out of his mouth. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't believe that, well, then you're not saved. Because you don't believe in the words that the Lord Jesus Christ said. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be walking in the Spirit. I want you to be, listen to me clearly. He says, it's for sure. It's for sure that you cannot see the kingdom of God or enter thereof, unless you are walking in the Spirit. So So if you say, well, I walked in the Spirit yesterday, but I know I should read the Bible more, and I know I'm not perfect. You're just saying, you should then also say, I know I'm not going to heaven. Because you must be perfect, and you are perfect if you're walking in the Spirit. If you say, I know I'm not perfect, and no one is, you're a liar again. Jesus is perfect, and all those that are in Jesus are perfect, so they wouldn't be in him. Okay? Or he wouldn't be in you. And so you're just admitting that you're not a Christian when you say you know you're not perfect. You know you're not holy. Because you just are saying that God just loves you no matter what you do. Well, you're a liar. You're an antichrist. Stop saying that or you're going to be in more trouble. Every time you say that, you're going to be in more trouble. That goes for Charles Stanley and all these other supposed to be people of G-O-D, quote, God, unquote. You're not of God, you're of the devil because you're telling people the wrong thing. Everything with God is conditional. He doesn't love you if you're a sinner. Yeah, you say you're a Christian and you're a sinner. You have to repent of your sins. That's where they came. Repent. And believe the gospel, the truth. Not these damnable liars. Believe God's word, not these liars. Amen?
Amen.
Be born again and believe the truth of God, the word of God, not what these people interpret it to be. You do that and you'll never be in heaven because they're lying to you. Okay, then what?
But the faster we keep the Lord's commandments and devote ourselves to him, the faster the thing will happen. We must learn to trust him, following his plan with patience and humility.
We must trust him, trust that his word is true, and that anyone that's preaching anything other than his word, through his word says that they are accursed people. These people that say that God is not, he just loves you unconditionally, are accursed. They're cursed people. And you're not going to see them in heaven, no matter how godly they look, no matter how, you know, well they comb their hair, or they don't wear a beard like I do, and they don't wear shades like I do. I've got glaucoma, that's why I wear them. And they look far more holy than I do, or I'm sure John the Baptist did, or even Jesus. But they're going to hell, okay? It isn't the outside of the platter that has to look holy. You have to be holy from within. You have to be in the Spirit. That's the condition. Okay, then what?
We must learn to trust him, following his plan with patience and humility, walking in the Spirit.
All right, so that was the 34th chapter of the book of Numbers, the fourth book of Moses. There's two more chapters for us to do in that book, and then we go into Deuteronomy, which is the fifth and last book of the Pentateuch, or the Torah. And then we'll go into, I was going to go into Joshua, but the Lord told me to do John, and I've already done the third chapter of John. I've already done two chapters of Joshua, but the Lord kept checking me, and so I just finally got the point and went over to John where he wanted me. And so it's just really working out good. Well, remember these things. We have to be within the border of the body of Christ. And we all have our job to do in the Lord, and if we don't do our job, then we're like Midianites. We're teaching people to sin, and that you can just be lazy and slothful rather than zealous. And remember that God is a God. All of his ways are, if you're going to go to heaven, it's conditional. If you do, if. You're my friend, I'm your friend, if you keep my commandments. So, if is a little word, but that's every time he says it, that's a condition. Amen? You can go to heaven if you're not a fornicator. You can go to heaven if you're not an adulterer. You can go to heaven if you're not a liar. You can go to heaven if you don't break any of the laws. And you will break laws if you're not walking in the Spirit. But if you have the power of God in you, the Spirit, you can, you know, and you keep those commandments and you don't break the commandments, then you're going to heaven. And that's the big if. So remember, think about it. Everything is if with the Lord. He's holy and his bride will be holy. His church must be holy. And his body must be holy. The temple that he lives in must be holy. He's not going to live in a sinning body. You're not devoting yourself to the Lord or sacrificing yourself unto him or giving yourself wholly unto him unless you're completely in the Spirit and forsaking all sin, the world, separating yourself from the world, keeping yourself holy and perfect for him to live in and work in you and through you. So remember, meditate on these things, think about them all day long, and until chapter 35, I know that God is blessing you if you do those things. Praise the Lord. Amen.